Morning, everyone, and Happy New Year from me and my family to all of you as well. Today is also the day when we think about the wise men, Epiphany, and how they followed that star, didn't they, that led them to Jesus. It led them to worship that new baby. And because of what those wise men did, because of what Jesus did, because of that Christmas story, it means that we can come and worship God, we can come into his presence, we can come and pray and listen to what God is saying to us. So that's what we're going to just think about this morning, about how we pray, about why we pray, about what we pray, and what difference that can make to our lives. Now, I was looking for a few people to come and help by having a go at making a paper aeroplane. All right, now, it doesn't matter if you can't make one, because we can talk you through, but if you fancy having a go at making your own, or if you want to just come and follow some instructions, then come to the front now. Children, you're welcome. Any teenagers, any adults want to join in, you're very welcome as well. Excellent. So come on out, come up onto the stage. Do you want to come and make a paper aeroplane? And then we're going to throw them and see which one can go the furthest. Now, we've got some paper here. So do you want to take one there, take one there, can you take one and pass some along there? Excellent. There we go, a couple for you as well. Now, if you already know how to make a paper aeroplane, you're welcome to make your own version, all right? Here we go, you're going to come and make one, lovely. But if you want to follow instructions, you can do that as well. So if you're following instructions, what you need is you need your paper, just borrow yours there, and just fold it in half so you've got a nice crease down the middle. All right, if I give you another one there, then I can use that one. So you've got a nice crease down the middle, and then you're holding your paper so you can see the centre line. You're already getting on with yours, aren't you? That's brilliant. Well done. So have you got that? So do you want to make a centre line there? Then open it up so you've got that centre line in front of you. Then what you need to do is take a corner, a top corner, and fold it to the centre line. All right. So, take your top corner and fold it to the centre line. You got that? Excellent. There we go. Just like that. Fold it to the centre line there. All right. And you do the same with the other top corner. So you end up kind of like a house shape. All right, you're doing it there. Well done. Excellent. How are you doing? Brilliant. If it's easier to put it down on the floor, it might be easier to do that. That's fine as well. You got that? Then what you need to do is fold the whole thing in half. Just like that. Excellent. And then open it up again so you've got your house shape there. You've got yours ready, haven't you? Now, this is the slightly complicated bit. You see that bit there, where my finger is? That now needs to fold to the middle line. All right, do you reckon you can do that? I can help you, that's all right. There we go. So let's do that one there, just like that. You've got that one there. So this bit here, that there, it folds to the middle line, just like that. And can you do the same just there? Well done. You're doing great. You've got yours ready. You just be patient. Hold on a second there. How are we there? So just fold that to the middle line. And can you do the same with that bit like that? Brilliant. Then fold it in half. Got like that sort of shape. There we go. So there's yours. It is a tiny bit tricky, isn't it? There we go. So that's yours. You've got that. You've got that. Fantastic. We're so nearly there. We've just got to make the wings. So you've got it in half. All right. Just fold one of those down to make one wing there. And the other one down to make the other wing. That's it. Just like that. So that's one wing. And you do that to make the other wing. That's it. You've got it. How you doing? You've done so well. Just that's one wing there, you see? And then you open that up, make a wing there, and then you hold it. Just there. You've got yours, you've got yours, you've got yours. Excellent. And then we're just going to have a go at flying it. Now, we're not aiming for people, all right? Okay. So if it comes near you, if you wouldn't just mind ducking, that would be really helpful. All right. So you hold it there, and we're all going to fly them. And if some of you want to fly them that way as well. A couple fly that way. Some fly forwards. You got it there. And you're just going to just give a nice, gentle little fly like that, all right? So off you go. 3, 2, 1, fire. Fantastic. Well done. Give them a round of applause. Thank you. Do take your aeroplanes back to your seats. Can you? There we go. You got yours there. Brilliant. Well done. Thank you so much. Now, I wonder how we learn to do things like making paper aeroplanes. For some of us, it was just following instructions, like we saw in that example there. Some people might have learnt when they were children. Maybe your parents taught you, or a friend at school taught you how to do it. Maybe you'd learn by reading a book. Apparently there's some amazing books you can read to learn how to make these aeroplanes that can fly for a long, long way. Maybe you just watch it on a YouTube clip. How do you make a paper aeroplane? Give you some good ideas from there. There's lots of different ways to learn to do something. I wonder how we learn about prayer. I wonder how we learn to pray. I wonder how we learn to fly our prayers to God and to listen to what God is talking to us about. That's what I'd like to explore this morning. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, my family will tell you that following instructions is not one of my strengths. All right, if I get one of those, one of the kids' new toys that we got at Christmas or something to make for the house, I'm tempted just to have a go myself, get it out of the box and see if I can put it together. Is anyone else like that? Who likes having a go themselves and doesn't particularly like to follow the instructions? Sometimes that's okay. It's not usually okay, Claire, is it? It doesn't usually work that well, does it? When I did my O-level, that just shows you my age there, my O-level in woodwork, my teacher told me that I had to choose the simple projects. We were given 3 projects that we could choose to do. And the teacher said really clearly, choose the simple project. In the long run, it's going to be much easier for you to do and to pass the exam. And the simple project, I can still remember, was to make a stand for a washing up bowl. So that's a pretty easy thing to do with a bit of wood. The complicated project was to make something that would serve a table tennis ball so that somebody could play it back to you on a table tennis table. A bit like one of those tennis serving things that shoots a ball out you might have seen that people practice with. And of course, I chose the complicated project. And I ended up with something literally that was about this high. I could hardly lift. Great big pieces of tubings and springs all along that I flung a table tennis ball at great speed, but in no particular direction. I also ended up with a U in woodwork because I didn't follow the instructions that my teacher had told me. Now, Jesus gave us some instructions. He told us to love each other. He told us to tell others about him. And he told us to pray. So, let's have a look at what Jesus taught us about prayer. I've already started a little bit. It's about following instructions. One reason we pray is because Scripture tells us to. Many, many verses in Scripture about prayer and about not that we how we pray, but about that we do pray. Here's 3 just to share. Luke 18:1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and never give up. That's the parable of the persistent widow. From 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And from Psalm 17, verse 6, I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear and hear my prayer. So I believe that Scripture makes it really, really clear that prayer is part of our Christian life. It's part of what we're called to do, communicating with God, listening to what God is telling us. So if we are going to pray, how do we do it? Well, This is what Billy Graham said. Prayer is simply a two-way conversation between you and God. Prayer is communication. So however we pray, we need to reflect that. So it must involve some speaking and it must involve some listening. Jesus told his disciples to find a quiet place. And indeed, we read of Jesus going off by himself to pray. So this is one way we communicate, by being alone with God, whether that's in our house, in a quiet time, whether that's going out for a walk, whether that's perhaps in the quiet room here at Christchurch, or wherever we find ourselves. Prayers don't always have to be long. The Lord's Prayer is just 34 words. But Jesus often spent long times in prayer as well. How we pray might be influenced by our circumstances or by our personality. Because some people are more comfortable praying out loud, while others might prefer to do so in silence. Some might prefer something called extempore prayer, which is using words that aren't pre-planned, using words that just come from your heart. Others might prefer praying with written prayers. All I'd like to say is why not try different ways? Try speaking to God. Try listening. How do you find it's best to talk and to listen to what God is saying? Because the listening is so important as well, allowing God to speak. The Old Testament character Samuel is really a good example of this, isn't he? "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," is what he said when he heard this voice. And although prayer is something that's important to do by ourselves, it's not just something that we do by ourselves. In the early church, the new Christians, they met together regularly to pray. Acts 1:14, they all joined constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So that's why things like First Wednesday are so important, or prayers on Monday, as it's an opportunity to meet as a family and pray together. So we know that we should pray as Christians. We know that we can pray in different ways. What about this question then? What do we pray? I think this is where today's reading is so helpful, because it can give us a template of what to pray. Actually, perhaps even an instruction, because Jesus said, "When you pray." So if we follow that instruction, our prayers could look something like this. We're speaking to God, God our Father. We recognize that through Jesus, we truly are daughters and sons of God. We're speaking words of praise. That's what "hallowed be your name" means, offering our praise to God. We're pleading that people come to know Jesus. I think that's one of the things that "your kingdom come" means, that our family, our friends, our neighbours, our community, indeed the world, are coming and entering into God's kingdom. We're praying for those lost sheep. We're acknowledging that we need God in all areas of our lives, in physical areas, spiritual and mental. Of course, we pray for the hungry. We pray for the lonely. But we also actively seek daily bread for ourselves by reading God's word and spending time with him. Perhaps in our prayer, we say this: "Forgive us our sins as we forgive others." Doesn't mean, even though that's a common phrase we use, it's perhaps not that easy. Not only do we need to repent of our sins, and that means trying to not repeat things we know are wrong, but also our own forgiveness, according to Matthew 6, is dependent on others forgiving us. If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you. And we ask God to help us to deal with temptation when it comes. Jesus was tempted. We know the story of Jesus in the wilderness, but he stood against that temptation. So when we say, "Lead us not into temptation," I think what we're praying is God will keep us strong. God will keep us faithful to him. So when, not if, we pray, I believe we're doing so to grow our relationship with God. So we need to talk. We need to listen. We need to pray alone. And we need to pray with others. We don't pray with a shopping list, but we pray with a desire to praise God and to see others come to him. I think the sentence, your kingdom come, your will be done, can sum this up. Because we're seeking a kingdom of love, a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of grace and service, a kingdom of God.